So today we'll start on a new series of lessons. We finished the book of Ecclesiastes. Now today we're going to start with the book of Psalms. But we're going to take a different approach to the study of Psalms. We are going to take a theological approach. And what that means is that we're going to study aspects about God, about how to see certain theological issues that we want to deal with as we study the book of Psalms. So from the notes, we can see that we are going to study the relationship between different Psalms, highlight theological aspects, rather than just the historical aspects. Okay, so some of the themes that we're going to deal with, worship, place of prayer, regular chronic situations, heartfelt repentance, complexity of vindication, contrast between the righteous and the wicked, and then so on. Okay, so we're going to start with the theme of prayer. And so we're going to take a bit of time to understand how to pray, and let's not take for granted that we really understand what prayer is, even though you've been a Christian for some time. We want to restudy this idea about prayer and to be able to go a bit deeper and be able to improve our prayer life. And if you don't have a prayer life, then let's start a prayer life. If you have a prayer life, then let's try to improve it along the way. Okay, well, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless. Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you that we can start once again Young Adults Group. And we pray that as we study your word from the book of Psalms, that you will continue to enlighten us. Help us to be able to see you for who you are and how we can relate to you in a deeper and better way. We pray that even as we study about prayer, that you will guide us and be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let me begin first by raising a question. What is the prime basis? Okay, prime basis of God answering our prayer. Why would God answer our prayer? So I think it's important for us to establish this from the very beginning. What is a prime basis for God to answer our prayer? And I think there's a lot of misconceptions about why God answers our prayer. A lot of people feel that if I pray to God, then God must answer my prayer. If I pray correctly, during the week, someone is asking me, you know, a lot of people are emphasizing fasting today. If I fast, and, you know, they have this 40-day fast, they have partial fast. If I fast, and I do it in a very, in a way that puts in a lot of effort, I forgo certain things, God will answer my prayer. And I think there's a lot of misconceptions in the world today. So let's begin with this question. What is a prime basis for God to answer our prayer? What do you think it is?
He aligns with His will.
Okay, you say His will. Okay, let's begin with that, His will. But what about His will? I mean, sure, the one part about it is with reference to His will, but and there are many things that we will study and we will think about. But what is a prime? So let's begin first. What is a prime basis? Before we even talk about His will, what is a prime basis for God to hear and answer our prayer? You know, it's prime, right? There's a supermarket called Prime, right? Is it still around? No more already. Still around, huh? Where? Near your place?
Your house downstairs.
Your house downstairs, okay. Is it prime? Is it good?
Not bad.
Okay. Yeah, so there's a prime supermarket. What is prime? What's a prime basis? What do you think it is? Let's just discuss for a while. Prime basis, since the prime supermarket is doorstep.
If Are we recording? Recording now? Ah, it's working? Okay. Sorry?
Like, are we defining what prime is? Like, what is the prime?
What is the prime? Prime basis? Okay, you want to define prime? Yeah, what is prime? Yeah, one of the important things.
Yes, sir. It's always love for us.
Okay, so you're saying it begins with God, right? Okay. Anybody else? Prime basis. Anyway, Beth? Prime basis. For God to hear our prayers. Sure, I mean, of course, there's part of God. But what is it that God looks for when He wants to answer your prayer? That's why I'm asking you all. That's why we're going to study this, you see? Why is it so important to study this? So partly, that's why it's called theology of prayer. We're going to study basically a theology of God and with reference to prayer. Because sometimes we pray, but we have not worked out totally the whole system with reference to how we should relate to God. Right? Okay, who wants to try? Michelle, want to try? What do you think? That's right. You can... It's either right or wrong. That's it. Right? You can try. What do you think it is? When you pray. Okay. Okay, what if my intention is good? Will God answer that prayer? Just because my intention is good? Okay, say for example, my intention is good. I really want something good to come out of it. Will God answer that prayer? What's a prime basis? We're talking about prime basis. What is a prime basis? Okay, relationship. Will God, Chloe, okay, last person, what do you think? Prime basis. A lot of times, sometimes people don't fully consider this. Okay, you can be very sincere. You can even cry out to God. You can even bring, you know, during the days of David and Samuel, they will bring sacrifices. But does that mean God is going to answer your prayer? Okay, understanding. Understanding God? Yeah. I mean, understanding God. Sure. But what is a prime basis? Okay. Now let's turn to Psalm 4. And it's a familiar psalm. I mean, we've turned to this psalm many times, but let's re-study it again. Let's understand it for what it is. And he says, Psalm 4, verse 1, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me. Hear my prayer." Now, the context: "How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood?" Now, part of the context of this prayer is with reference to a life-threatening situation. Okay, so the context is with reference to a life-threatening situation. Okay, a life-threatening situation, and there were people who were out to get him. probably maybe King Saul, who wanted to kill him. There was also Absalom, his son, who wanted to get rid of him. People who spoke falsehood, they want to turn his glory to shame. So this was not a common situation. This was David facing the danger of losing his life. Now, if you are facing the danger of losing your life, when you pray, what is the most important thing? Because if you don't have it, God don't answer your prayer, you're dead. Right? If you pray and God doesn't answer your prayer, you're gonna, because it's a life-threatening situation. Alright? So what is prime basis of God answering one's prayer? Hear me when I call, O God of mine, righteousness. I tell you what's a prime basis of God answering our prayer. It's a life of righteousness. Okay? A life of righteousness. See, how you live your life, whether we walk with God, whether we live righteously, it's going to affect God answering your prayer. If you want to relate to God in prayer, then we need to be righteous too. David understood this from the onset. First thing he raised up, God of my righteousness. My righteousness. This is personal righteousness. It is not about imputed righteousness. This is about his righteousness. And of course, God is a God of righteousness. Right? Because he's a God of righteousness, then we must also, as we relate to him, we must also relate to him in righteousness. You follow? Yeah, come. Yeah, we're talking about the prime basis for God answering our prayer. And I just revealed, you all came in the right time. I just revealed to them that the prime basis of God answering our prayer is that God wants us to be righteous. Right? We need to be righteous so that God will answer our prayer. The Lord had relieved him. He relieved him in his distress. Now, he has experienced God answering his prayer. But the experience comes by because he knew that he needs to be righteous before God. And because he needs to be righteous before God, God has answered his prayer. So now he prays, God of my righteousness, have mercy on me. So together, so first and foremost, we need to be righteous before God, and then we need to pray for his mercy. See, sometimes people say, you know what, I'm just going to pray for God's mercy. Right? God be merciful to me. God be gracious to me. You know, may this be your will. But then you need to look at your life too. Are you living righteously before God? Because if you're not living righteously before God, and you have sinned, you are straying, will God answer your prayer? Well, the Word of God says that if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord would not hear our prayers. And that is a very important thing to consider. Turn with me to Psalm 66 and in verse 18. So Psalm 66 and in verse 18, we read, If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Right? The Lord will not hear. If I have iniquity in my heart, will God hear our prayers? That is a very important question. So that's why I want to begin first by talking about the prime basis. Sometimes we don't see this basis. We've come to the stage where we take it so much for granted. When we come before God, you know what? I'm just going to pray to God. I hope God's going to hear my prayer. But I think one of the things that we really want to consider as we begin the second half of this year, as we start YEG again, is that are we living righteously before God? Are we Are we regarding iniquity in our hearts? Are we seeking to be godly before God? Let's go back to Psalm 4 and we read in verse 3. But know that the Lord has set apart him who is godly. Can you see the trend? My righteousness, godly. So what is godly? That's another good question. What is godly? God worthy, okay. Not worthy.
W-O-R.
Not worthy. Okay. Okay. Good try. What else? I mean, just keep trying. No worries. What is godly? What does godly mean? Godlike? You're not wrong, okay? Yes, if you are godly, you will not be worthy. Okay, but what's godly? You see the thing about what's godly? God was set apart. The word set apart means this person will stand out. He will be distinct. He will be made distinct because he is someone whose prayers God is hearing. And he stands up. He sets, being set apart from the world, but not worthy, right? But he sets apart, when sets apart this person who is godly. So what is godly? So there are two parts. Okay, anybody want to try? Godly. Jinghua, what is it? Okay. In other words, he's a person who is righteous. Okay, yeah, you're right. Okay. So this person, so a godly person is a person who walks righteously. But not just walking righteously, he is also devoted to God. The word godly has the idea of being devoted. There's a sense of ego. There's a sense of piety. In the Greek form, in the New Testament, the word godliness has the idea of being pious. A sense of devotion, piety to God. So it goes together. If I want to be righteous, then I need to be devoted to God too. I need to be faithful to God. Can you see? Both, it goes together. And this is a godly person. So here is the God of my righteousness, the source of righteousness, the person who is righteous ultimately, the only person is God and the Lord Jesus, right? But you know what? As I have faith in him, as I am devoted to him, then I also learn to be righteous. Now sometimes, I think for very often, when we pray to God, we don't really fully consider this idea of righteousness. Because we take it so much for granted, if we plead for God's mercy, we pray for God's grace, we pray because God is loving, we more or less accept that God is just going to hear our prayer. We're going to take it for granted that God is going to pray. But we don't fully consider this idea that we need to be godly. We need to walk with God, be devoted to him, then he hears our prayer. You notice in the psalm, he begins by talking about, hear me when I call. Right? He mentions this three times. Hear me when I call, hear my prayer. Verse 3, the Lord will hear when I call on him. He places a lot on this idea of God hearing my prayer. Okay? And what comes out? One is he prays for mercy, but what comes out is this idea of righteousness. Godliness and righteousness. My righteousness. Can you see? God hears the prayer of those who are godly. And David knew, David knew this well. He had a tremendous sense of assurance. Know that the Lord has set apart for him who is godly. He knows it well. There's much assurance that goes with it. He understands this well. That's why the second part, there's a confidence. The Lord will hear. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Okay? Can you see that? Okay, do you have any questions you want to ask with reference to this? I think that's something for us to begin with, the whole idea of godliness. Idea of being godly, to be righteous before God. First and foremost, before we even talk about prayer, if we really want to expect God to hear our prayer, we need to look at our lives. Why is it God is not hearing our prayer? Maybe it's your life. Maybe you're not walking right with God. Maybe you are sinning with God. Maybe you're regarding iniquity in your heart. Right? The book of James talks about how, you know, if your prayer is not answered, why? Because you are asking amiss. You're not walking with God. I think one of the things that we really want to consider is this whole idea of, are we righteous before God? Okay, now, we go on to the next one. Okay, any questions? Anybody? Yeah. And so that's where we need to get right with God first. Right? That's where Psalm 51, Psalm 34 comes in, where we plead for forgiveness first, where we plead for cleansing first. Right? So don't jump the gun. If you know that you're not, so the first thing that happens is that you know, God is not answering my prayer. What are you going to do? Are you just going to sit there and accept that your prayer is not being answered? Or are you going to take the time to examine your own heart and your life? Why is it that, you know, there's no strength? Why is that there's no spiritual vitality? Right? Okay, let's turn to Psalm 32. So in Psalm 32, we read of how, okay, verse 3, when I kept silence, my bones grew old. Through my groaning all the day long, from day and night, your hand was upon me, my vitality turned into the drought of day. Then he confessed his sin. Right? When he didn't confess his sin, he found that he didn't have spiritual vitality. He found that he was dying inside. He found that his bones grew old. Oh, wow, then life was hard. He found that guilt was upon him day and night. Why? You know, sometimes guilt can affect you so much you cannot sleep at night. That's the nature of guilt. And sometimes it's because of our stubbornness, because of our, you know, our pride, we don't humble ourselves to confess our sin. You know, we feel, so for David, when he sinned against God with Bathsheba, he killed Uriah indirectly. He kept quiet for 1 year. 1 year he didn't confess his sin. Right? Until Nathan went to confront him, told him this parable. And then finally he was shocked. Wow, he confessed his sin. And only then that he could get right. Then he confessed his sin. He acknowledged his iniquity. I will confess my transgressions in the Lord, and the Lord forgave my iniquity. For this cause, look, verse 6, for this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in the time when you may be found. You see? Again, this idea of godliness. See, when he is not godly, when he is sinning, he kept quiet. You know what? No strength, nothing. He's going to pray all he wants, nothing is going to happen. God is just going to remove his blessing. Right? You got no strength, you got no nothing from God. No grace, no mercy. But then when he confessed, then he says, oh, you know what? For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray for you in time when you may be found. Right? Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near you. See, then God is going to be there with you when great problems come. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Wow. Then God was there for him. God was helping him. God was protecting him. God was surrounding him with songs of deliverance. Previously, wow, you know, no vitality. Day and night, his hand heavy on me, groaning all the day. You see the difference? When you confess your sin, when you try to get wrong, when you are godly, when you try to walk right with God, then I will instruct and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eyes. Do not be like the horse or the mule. See, God's people are stubborn. People are rebellious. People are proud. You know what? I just want to do my own thing. Why? So the challenge is to confess our sins, to come clean before God. I'm one person, I will always come clean before God. Every day. I don't take it for granted. First thing in the morning, I come before God. I will pray and I'll ask God, Lord, forgive me. Sometimes I cry out to God. Sometimes I know I can sense something very funny, okay, maybe because I've been doing this for many years, really. I can actually sense when God is not there with you. Straight away, the day itself, I don't need weeks or months to understand it. Moments, I can sense. You know what? God, I don't sense God. The sensitivity is not there. Straight away, I stop everything. I'll go and pray. I'll go and read. I'll go and set my heart right before God. Before I do anything else. Partly because I'm a pastor. I can't touch anything without being right before God. If not, it's not going to be right. Everything's going to be wrong. Then I teach everything also wrong. No, I can't. I need to get right with God so much more. See how crucial this is? So for those of you who are serving, you need to get right with God. Right? For those of you who are working, you want to pray, you ask God to bless, but you know, if you are not walking right with God, you think God is going to bless you? Think again. So first things first. Okay? So the next part is very important. Next part is called practices during prayer. Okay, what is it that you do during prayer? Let's go back to Psalm 4. Okay? What should you do? If you say for example, okay, you know, if there are things that are not right, okay, like in Psalm 34, what is the first thing you do? Verse 4 it says, be angry and do not sin. First things first, go and examine your heart. Examine your heart whether you are angry. Now, if you are angry, are you sinning? Check your heart. Because if you are angry, here is a life-threatening thing. You are angry, you are upset, you are frustrated. And very common response is that people end up sinning. You lose self-control. So the first thing, the first practice you do as you are praying is that you got to look at your heart. Are you sinning before God? Because it's very important for us. If there's a place for anger, but we must not sin. See, that's a check. That's an important thing. So you're going to start, you know, your bar thing, and then you're going to start being a lawyer. And you know, people are going to frustrate you. I'm sure you heard a lot of stories. Huh? Yeah. And how am I going to respond? Am I going to respond with anger? Am I going to be upset? Once you start working in the world,
there are a lot of people that will upset you. Parents, do you talk to parents? No. Okay, good for you. Don't need to talk to parents. The teachers, half the time, they are talking to parents, right? Ayo, some parents are really... Where did this alien come from? Why? They are not human. Right, I mean, some of them are really nasty, I must say. Huh? Yeah, some of them. Huh? Some patients also, wow, really, really nasty. I mean, where did these human beings all come from? Why are they like that? It's just them. Right? And the challenge is, how should I respond? And that's where prayer comes in. You really need to take the time to examine your heart. Am I sinning? Am I so angry until I end up sinning? Am I going to end up with a complaining spirit? Am I going to end up with frustration? And am I going to end up with vengeance in the heart? I'm going to take vengeance, man, one way or another. I'm going to give it to the person. Right? I know this person, he keeps lunch in the fridge. I'm going to sabotage the lunch, put something there, skipping pill. Person, the teacher, halfway through, not teach. Well, I mean, not that I do it, okay? Right, but, I mean, we can end up with a lot of anger, and we can end up sick. So that's the first practice. The second practice is that as you pray, along the way, our hearts, our minds should be meditating on God. Now, meditate within your heart on the bed. I don't recommend this on the bed. That's not a nice place. That's not a good place to meditate. Most of the time, people do that. They do something else besides meditating. And they tend to sleep. Yes. I see a smile on her face. I think most women like sleeping, right? No? Yes? Like, huh?
Guys
who like sleeping. Okay lah, well, do you like sleeping too? Yeah. Matthias, you like sleeping?
You do.
Well, I do like, but I don't have the time to sleep very much. I think one of the things that we should do is that we should learn how to have meditation on the Word of God and on God go together with prayer. I think we don't meditate as much. Right? And the practice is that we learn how to meditate on God. Now, so a lot of times this psalm is referred to as an evening psalm. Okay? I'm going to try to change that idea. It's not so much an evening psalm, but it is a psalm where the psalmist would have begun meditating in the morning. He begins the day and the problem is really there. Right? He begins with prayer. He starts with praying to God. But the problem is still there in the evening. What do you do? I start in the morning. You know what? I'm going to meditate on the Word of God. In the evening, the problem is still there. What are you going to do? Are you going to be frustrated? Are you going to be angry? Are you going to start complaining? Are you going to start thinking of vengeance against the enemy? Or are you going to continue to meditate on God and His Word and pray? So it's not an evening psalm per se. It is a psalm where you are meditating and you are praying throughout the day. See, that's the idea here. And I learn how to pray. So this is part of the practice of prayer. It's not just coming up with content, a long list of things, but it's really learning to take the time to meditate and to pray. And to do that throughout the day. And then you end the day still thinking and meditating. The problem is still there. It's not gone away. And I can tell you a lot of times, some problems are not going to go away lightly, easily. And you need to take the time to just meditate and pray. To examine your heart. See, to me, these are very important practices as you pray.
Can you see that? Which we don't. We just pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Gone. Right? Maybe you shouldn't be doing that, okay? You shouldn't be reciting the right, speaking in tongues of the world. Right? Yesterday at SSP, there was a new lady who came. Okay? And someone brought this older lady, and she's a Christian, but she's from a charismatic church. And she was talking to me, and she said, oh, you know, I went overseas, we were in Scotland High, Thailand, and I saw this beautiful scenery, and I wanted to speak in tongues. The person said, I want to speak in tongues. I said, no, don't speak in tongues. No, now please. And the person said, I want to speak in tongues. They said, wow, you know, I just wanted to speak in tongues to God. Wow. Straight away, that's a wrong understanding of speaking in tongues, because if you really are speaking in tongues, you have no control over it. It's the Holy Spirit that's causing you to speak in tongues. It's not, I want to start speaking in tongues, then I start speaking. I want to stop, I stop. Straight away, it's a wrong understanding of what speaking in tongues is. You have no control of it. It's the Spirit of God who will guide you to speak in tongues when He wills, not your will. Right? So when the person said that, I said, Alamak. First thing I ask, which church you come from? Oh, Assembly of God. Oh, okay. Charismatic church. Yeah, you see, a lot of people have a lot of misunderstanding of what prayer is. But I think prayer should be a time where we examine our hearts. Prayer should be a time where we meditate and we learn to be still. Stillness. That is a very important part of prayer. If you pray and at the end of it, you're not still, there is no stillness, there's no peace, there's no calmness, your heart is still angry and upset, you have not prayed properly. One of the things about prayer is that you learn to be still. Okay, I don't mean be still until you sleep, okay? Right, sometimes people end up, okay, on the bed, be still, sleep. No, stillness to me, it's about when you meditate, when you pray, you can sense the very presence of God. You can almost sense God being with you when that sense of stillness is there. Years ago, a story was told about how there was this man who wanted to learn about, you know, how to be able to, so there was this great Indian fella who was able to understand a lot about nature, about the things surrounding, and so this man wanted to learn because he wanted to know the ways of the forest and so on and so forth. So he went to this great Indian guy and he asked about how can I learn this? He said, you sit here and you wait. And he waited. You know, he was fidgeting. 1 hour went by. Then he left. Then the next day he met a Ray Indian guy again. He said, then the guy asked him, what did you learn? Nothing. You know, I was just sitting there 1 hour and I left. See, you sit here again. Wait. He waited. And the guy left. He sat there. Okay, this time he put in a bit more effort. 3 hours. Then he left. Next day he met the Indian guy again. He said, Nia, what do you learn? He said, I was a bit more patient. Hey, you sit here again. You wait again. And this time, he sat there and he didn't leave. He slept there overnight. Next morning, the Red Indian man came, asked him, what do you learn? He said, I can listen to the forest. I can listen to the ants. I can listen. listen to, you know, the deer and the fawn moving. I can listen to this. I can listen to that. When you have stillness before God, very often God will speak to you in one way or another. Do you have this stillness? Right?
Goes on to say, right? Do you have this sense of stillness? And be still. When there's no stillness, if we regard iniquity in our hearts, you know, it's very hard to listen to God's voice. David prayed, he sought to find this stillness. You know, he could continue to pray in this stillness. Okay, do you have any questions?
So now we come to the post-prayer practices.
Okay? So there's the prime basis. Then there's the practices during prayer. And now there is the post. And there are two things that I want to emphasize. One, offer the sacrifices of righteousness. You see the word righteousness comes out again?
What is this, offer the sacrifices of righteousness? So the challenge, as I pray, as I walk with God, as I respond, as I seek to be still, when God blesses me, as I walk righteously, right? When I'm righteous, then God prosper the work of my hands, right? Like it says in Psalm 1. Whatever God gives to me, I can use that to offer to God. So he can bring sacrifices to God. But these sacrifices, it comes from righteousness. Yeah, you see this? Actually, this was something Pastor John explained, right, last week. So that was good, man. I will use this week. Right? It's when we live righteously and then God blesses us, we can use that. So in this context, he's giving sacrifices to God, offer sacrifices of righteousness. This can also mean as we praise God, as we bring our praises, our worship before God, they can also be considered as sacrifices of righteousness. Because that's worship, you understand? That's worship with reference to God. Okay?
And then the second part, we read, and put your trust in God.
You can learn to trust God. Can you see? Okay, let's stop for a while. Do you have any questions or not? Prayer. So you can say this is like prime basis, you can be the prerequisite. Well, I didn't want to use prerequisite as much, but I think this is a prime basis to prayer, right? Our life of righteousness. Then there are practices during prayer. What do we do when we pray? Beyond just content. Then post-prayer. You see, post-prayer, one of the most important things is that you got to learn to trust God. After we pray. If you pray, after you pray, you don't trust God, then you have not prayed. Because if you really have prayed, you bring everything before God, you leave it there, you learn to be still, you learn to meditate on God, you focus on Him, you should be able to trust Him. If you have gone through prayer correctly, and you don't trust God, then your prayer is not right. Can you see? Part of the idea, a very important part about prayer, is a life of righteousness. It's whether we are living righteously before God. See, it's so important. A lot of people think, okay, you know what, I can do my own thing, and yet when exam come, I just pray and hope God will come. No. You have to consider that God looks at the way you live your life. God looks at your heart. God looks at whether you really take Him seriously. Whether you say you love Him, whether you have faith, whether you really show it by living a life of righteousness. Book of James tells us, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much. A righteous man, Elijah. So the way we live our life is very important. If we regard iniquity in our heart, you think God is going to hear our prayer? Think again. Okay, let me finish this and then we'll stop for a while. Okay, let's move on. And then the next part, there are many who say, who will show us any good? So these are his people. People surrounding him, they raise up doubts. So one of the things about giving righteously, when you pray correctly, is that as you do these things, doubts will come. Doubts will somehow arise. When you try to walk righteously, there will always be these doubts that will come. Who will do any good? Right? Who will show us any good? And then he learns to push these doubts out. Okay? Pushing out our doubts. Okay? So, prime basis. Practices during post prayer practices, pushing out doubts. This is what prayer should be. Not just lists of prayer. This is how we should pray. Can you see this? Right? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon me. So when we seek the Lord, you know, there will come doubts. Many will raise doubts. The challenge is dealing with these doubts with further prayer. Asking the Lord, Lord, lift up the light. Let there come, you know, your light from your countenance upon your people. Shine that light of His face, His favor upon the people. Okay, then there comes the reflection part. You have put gladness in my heart more than in a season that grain and wine increase. Wow. This one is a bonus, you know. When you have bonus, so you have your normal harvest, wow, then you have a bonus. Increase. Wow. Good harvest. Bonus harvest. SIA, anybody working in SIA? You know what's their bonus last year? 7 times their salary. SIA. 7 times. I never had 7 times in my whole life. Right? In school, how many bonus do you get? 2 months? 3 months? Depends. Mostly what? 2-3 months? Okay lah, not too bad. Wow, 7 months. Some company, finance company, 11 months. My goodness. Okay, but one thing about working in a private world, you earn a lot of money, you give your soul to them, but when hard times come, you are the first to be there. That is a problem with private sector. Government sector better, right? You earn less, but you know what? Every day I can still spend money. Right? So that's okay. Okay, wow, I will both lie down in peace. Wow, there will come peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me well and sleep. So he finds that God ultimately, as he prays correctly with righteousness, God sustains him. In prayer, God gives peace and provides protection. You know, there was one period in my life where for 6 months I couldn't sleep properly. Okay, and it was really tough. You know, when you cannot sleep properly, the next day is just really horrible. And you know, it was just something bugging my mind. You know, it just kept bugging. And I didn't know how to pray. I didn't meditate, I didn't memorize. I just lived a bit. And for 6 months, every day at night, 3 a.m. I would get up and I couldn't sleep. 6 months it went on. I didn't know how to deal with it. And then finally, I learned to memorize the Word of God. I learned to meditate. And the more I meditate, the more I focus on God. You know, the problem went away. The problem didn't go away, but I was able to just focus on the Lord. I found that sense of peace. And after 6 months, I was able to sleep through the night. And sometimes you have to go through that period of time where you really, really struggle. But then at the end of the day, the Lord will give you that sense of peace that you will and protection. And I thank God for that. Okay, can you see the whole prayer process? Right? Okay. So there's any questions you know? Or anything that you want to raise up concerning this? What do you all think? In your mind now, wow, Pastor Lee, so many things to do during prayer. Well, I think it's worthwhile things to do. I think it's really, really worthwhile. And I think this is how we should pray. Rather than just whisper a prayer to God in the morning, you're rushing, God, please help me today. Then you go. No. I think we should give God. I think you should set aside time to pray. I think you should set aside time to meditate. And to review and to think through things. And to get right with God. You really need to. Yeah. How do you push up? So it really depends what you are referring to, because what you are referring to can be a complex situation. If it's a complex situation, if it's not a straightforward thing, then there must come understanding the situation first. You know, what is the situation? How do we see it? And how to resolve the issue at the end of the day? You follow? Because it's not just about prayer. There must come discernment. And sometimes can I understand like how to see it, in what context are you talking about? Work, life, children. So, okay, so before I even deal with the idea of whether God is answering my prayer, finding a new job, I first must understand the economy, right? Because now, okay, say for example today, the economy is really, really, really bad. No one is hiring. Even government agencies are not hiring, right? Maybe MOEs. Are you hiring?
Still hiring,
yeah. But a lot of places are letting go, right? Google, all the different companies, they're all letting go. Okay, and a lot of government agencies are not hiring. They, you know,
no more in terms of there's no provision for estate situation and so on, right? I'm sure there's a nurse crunch, right, in hospitals and so on. So first you've got to understand that. And if I'm going through a time where I can't find a job, then I have to be ready that I have to go through, this is going to be a long haul thing. I'm not going to say, okay, God, if you don't answer, then you're not real. No, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to begin by saying, okay, you know what? The job situation is bad. It's going to be a long haul thing. Right? I explained this to someone years ago where she couldn't find a job. And it was the same thing. The economy was bad. And she said, okay, I understand the long haul thing. Right? My word to her is that don't expect things to just resolve so quickly. You've got to learn how to wait upon the Lord and trust Him. If it comes, great. If it doesn't, then let's continue waiting and let's wait patiently. And she waited. She waited for 7-8 months. Then she found a job. She became, you know, ultimately a teacher along the way. Right? And there was a challenging time. There was one lady, no longer in church. She waited 1 year to find a job. Partly she was also picky. Right? If you want to find a job, you can, but it's just what job you want, right, at the end of the day. And so it really depends. So I want to see the big picture first. Then after I see the big picture, then I pray. Then I look at all my options. Option 1, option 2, option 3, option 4. If this one doesn't work, then I'll pray for this one. If it doesn't work, then I'll pray for this one. If this one doesn't work, then I'll pray for this one. Right? I look at all my options. Then if I really cannot, then okay. Then I will ask, I want to see, I will knock. Knock on door. If you really cannot, then I ask for help. Sometimes I just need to go humble myself, go and ask someone, hey, can you help me? Maybe I need to know someone. In Singapore, sometimes to get something done, you need to know someone. Sometimes you need someone to help you. I don't want to ask anybody for help. No, sometimes you just need someone to help you along the way. And perhaps you just need to knock on doors. You ask me for help, I will try to get help for you. Or pastor or whoever or someone, okay. So last time there was someone who wanted to ask for an accountant job. So the person actually went to someone who in church who was some leading accountant and look, can you help me? And she found a job. Is that wrong? No. There's nothing wrong with that. So sometimes you just need to put in a bit of effort and, you know, look for the job. Nowadays, you have headhunters looking for you. If you're not being headhunted, then maybe you're not doing as well. You see, it can go many ways. So it really depends, you see, on what you are asking and how to see it. Because it can go both ways. It can be yourself too. Maybe you're not walking righteously before God, and that's why God is not answering your prayers. So the first things first, let's look at ourselves. Are we walking righteously before God? Why is God not answering my prayer? Can you see the whole thing? Okay, first lesson. Let me just set the stage. This is setting the stage for what prayer is before we deal with other things. Right? If you're not dealing with this, then maybe you want to rethink your whole approach to prayer. Maybe you're not praying correctly. Maybe you're not giving God the time. Maybe you're not meditating. You're not being still. You're not trusting. You're not offering sacrifices of righteousness. Tomorrow we give offering. Tomorrow we pray. Tomorrow we worship God. But you know what? Maybe your life is not right before God. First things first, get right before God. Examine your heart. Maybe you have an anger problem and you're every day you're thinking, your meditation is, how shall I take revenge?
How should I take revenge? I'm only a take revenge. Okay, this one I'll do. What is my revenge? Okay, wow, this one very good. I'm gonna do this. Your meditation is revenge, revenge, revenge. That's wrong too. No, you have to be still. Right? Not murder. every day I think murder. No. Are there people like that? Yes, I'm sure. There are people who are like that. Right? I'm sure the person who shot Donald Trump, 2 times already, people have been trying to assassinate him. One shot his ear. Actually, that was the thing that won his election. When he was shot on the ear, blood coming out, and then he said, fight, fight, fight. Whoa. Elon Musk, I'm fighting, I will fight with you. Yeah, he said that. It's because of that that he supported Donald Trump. Right? But the guy must have been thinking about it, how to assassinate Donald Trump for weeks and months. See, that is anger. Okay, any other questions you want to raise up? Last 5 minutes. Oh, Natalie, okay. We see things differently, from YPG. This side is now, we go into the big leagues. Right? This side is no longer small league. This is big leagues now. This is the, it's called a jungle, okay? The working world is a jungle. It's no longer, fishing pond. This is a jungle, there are tigers, lions, there are elephants, they will just storm on you. They got big fish, eat small fish, kind of idea. Yeah, so it's a different world altogether. Okay? And we really need the Lord to be there with us. If you don't pray like this, then don't expect God to pray yourself. Okay? Yes, we still pray for mercy. David prayed for mercy, but you know what? What comes up strongly is righteousness. Okay? Okay, any other questions? Beth, now? Okay? Any questions? Okay. Okay, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for today's lesson. Many things to consider about how we can relate to you. We want to first look into our hearts and examine if there's any sin, if we are not walking right with you. We ask the Lord that you forgive us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to really consider this prime basis of you answering our prayer, and that's to have a life of righteousness. Help us, Lord, to live for you. Help us, Lord, to live righteously as best as we can, depending on your grace. And along the way, as we learn to pray, help us, Lord, to also examine our hearts. Help us to meditate on you and your word and be still. We pray, Lord, this afternoon, especially for all of us, that you will teach us how to practice stillness within our hearts in all that we seek to do. We pray that you will bless us, grant us peace, grace, and strength that we need. We pray that we can offer to you sacrifices of Christ. So bless us, Lord, as we give this offering to you. In Jesus' name we pray.